السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. You see, my dear brothers and sisters, on the 10th year of the migration of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he left Medina for the Hajj. In that particular year, corresponding to 632 Christian era, he left with around 90,000 Muslims from Medina. But when he arrived in Mecca, that number increased to around 115,000 Muslims. From there, on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, he left for Arafah. And when he arrived in Arafah, he ascended Jabal al-Rahmah, the mountain of mercy. And on that mountain of mercy, he gave his khutbatul wida, his final sermon to his ummah. The final instruction, the final public address to his ummah, but to the whole of humanity by extension. And he began that final sermon by bringing us back to the essence of things. In fact, in that sermon of his, he said 10 times, my dear brothers, Ya ayyuhal nas, O people, generally, rather than Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, O ya muslimin, O mu'mineen, he said, Ya, O people, Ya ayyuhal nas, O humanity, addressing everyone and appealing to our insaniya, appealing to our human innateness, appealing to our human nature and our responsibilities, not only towards Allah, but towards the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He began his final sermon, my dear brothers, by saying, Usikum ibadullah bitaqwa Allah, wa ahussukum ala ta'atihi, wa sastahu billadhi huwa khair. I advise all of you, I encourage all of you to have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I encourage every single one of you to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers, our affair begins with the matter of taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our matter starts with taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It all begins with taqwa. Alif lam mim dhalika al-kitab la rayba fi hudal lil-muttaqin. The only entrance towards Allah, the only doorway to Allah, the only opening towards Allah and hidayah and khair and jannah at the end is through the door of taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بِأَهْدٍ قَدِيمٍ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ وَمَنْ كَانَ مَكْنُونًا فَعَلَّمْتَهُ الْأَسْمَاءِ أَذِقْنَا شَرَابَ الْأُنْسِيَ مَنْ إِذَا سَقَى مُحَبًّا شَرَابًا لَا يُضَامُ وَلَا يُضْمَى. Imam Shafi'i says, رحم الله. How does it start? From the old oath, مِنْ أَلَسْتَ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ. When Allah asked every single one of us, our souls, am I not your Lord? And we all said, what? بَلَىٰ, indeed you're our Lord, O Allah. But we then reject Allah, but then we then deny Allah. What a calamity and travesty that is. بِأَهْدٍ قَدِيمٍ أَلَسْتَ بِرَبِّكُمْ وَمَنْ كَانَ مَكْنُونًا فَعَلَّمْتُ الْأَسْمَاءِ. From the time before, from Adam alayhi salam, what do we ask Allah for? What is your request, my dear brothers? What do you beg Allah for? How do you improve your situation? How do you improve your life? This ugliness and bitterness and hardship in ourselves that we want to rid ourselves of, how do we remove it? أَذِقْنَا شَرَابَ الْأُنْسِ يَمَنْ إِذَا سَقَى مُحَبًّا شَرَابًا لَا يُضَامُ وَلَا يَضْمَى. Oh Allah, give us to drink from the شراب الأنس, from the drink of goodness, from the drink of happiness. It's the kind of drink, if you drink that drink, my dear brothers, there is no harm that will come to you from that drink, and there is no thirst you will ever have again after that drink. That's enough to quench your thirst. It's the drink of taqwa. إِذَا الْمَرْءُ لَمْ يَلْبِسْ ثِيَابًا مِنَ التُّقَى تَتَقَلَّبَ عَرْيَانًا وَلَوْ كَانَ كَاسِيًا. The poet said, إِذَا الْمَرْءُ لَمْ يَلْبِسْ ثِيَابًا مِنَ التُّقَى تَتَقَلَّبَ عَرِيَانًا وَلَوْ كَانَ كَاسِيًا. If we are not wearing the garment of taqwa, it's a garment, right? It's a garment. If you're not wearing the garment of taqwa, it's as if you're naked but you think you're clothed. It's as if you're naked but you think you're clothed. You are exposing yourself to Allah, to His angels, to everyone. Your ugliness, your sin, your arrogance, your lust, your envy, your pride, your jealousy, all the human bad characteristics that we have, we expose them to everyone if we are not have the garment and the veil and the shield of taqwa. And the best garment for the Muslim is ta'atu rabbihi wa la khayra fi man kana lillahi asiya. And the best garment is a garment of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's no good in anyone who is a flagrant sinner to Allah. It's not about just feeling, like some people say, right? Celebrities, superstars, pop stars, who know nothing about religion, but what do they say? It's about, I feel as if I'm a Muslim. And that then by default, what they think, makes you a Muslim. I feel as if I'm a Muslim. I could worship Ganesh, I could worship the idol, they say. And be careful, my dear brothers, what your wives and your daughters are watching. What kind of films, what kind of actors, what kind of religion are these people following? I could worship the idol Ganesh, but it's okay if I have the Quran besides the idol. I could instruct my children to worship the idol, but it's okay if they say Bismillah together with them. But the key thing is, I feel as if I'm a Muslim. That is a delusion. Don't follow the way of this Khan and that Khan, my dear brothers. Follow the way of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he taught us in his last sermon, in the opening address, أُصِيكُمْ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ وَأَحَسُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ طَاعَتِهِ وَاسْتَفْتَحُوا بِالَّذِي هُوَ خَيْرٌ. I command you, I compel you, I encourage all of you with what? With taqwa. And I encourage you with obeying Allah. Not just feeling. I feel as if I know. You obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And wear the garment of taqwa. What does man want? يُرِيدُ الْمَرْءُ أَنْ يُعْطَى مُنَاهُ وَيَأْبَى اللَّهُ إِلَى مَا أَرَادَ. يَقُولُ الْمَرْءُ فَائِدَتِي وَمَالِي وَتَقْوَى اللَّهِ أَفْضَلُ مَا اسْتَفَادَ. Imam Shafi'i says what? A man wants, what do you want? You want the fulfillment of your aim. You want to build your bungalow back home, you just want that to be achieved before you die. At least it's money well spent, you say. Right? You have this aim and dream, I want to do this before I die, and you hope for that until you die. Everyone has an aim like that. A man wants to fulfill his aims, his hopes, but Allah will do as He pleases. But Allah will do as He pleases. Allah will allow some of you, some of us to fulfill those hopes and others will be cut short. However it is, Allah is in control of everything. يقول المرء فائدتي ومالي. A man says, my benefit and my wealth are the two most important things in my life. وَتَقْوَى اللَّهِ أَفْضَلُ مَا اسْتَفَادَ. But taqwa of Allah is the best thing to benefit a person. But taqwa of Allah is the best thing to benefit a person. That's how he started his address. Ya ayyuhanna, O people. Ya ayyuhanna, O people. Isma'u minni. فَإِنِّي لَا أَدْرِي لَعَلِّي لَأَلْقَاكُمْ بَعْدَ عَامِ هَذَا فِي مَوْقِفِ هَذَا. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O people, listen to me. Because I do not know if I will be alive after this year. In this place. I don't know if I'm going to have the chance to give you this message ever again. What do we learn from that, my dear brothers? One of the things is, you don't have any time to waste. You don't have any time to waste. You want to give sadaqah? Then don't delay for tomorrow, but give it today. You want to start praying? You start praying today. You want to do something? You want to give da'wah to Allah? Call people to Allah? You start doing that today. You want to do something good? You do that today. Because who knows if you will be alive the next year? If you'll be alive in the same place. Right? So do the thing you want to do, but do it in the time when Allah gives you that inspiration to do it. Every day you wake up in the morning, our Prophet would read one of the du'as, Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي عَافَانِي فِي جَسَدِي وَرَدَّ عَلَيَّ رُوحِي وَأَذِنَ لِي بِذِكْرِهِ. Praise be to Allah, the one who has returned my soul to me and has preserved me in my being, in my health, and has allowed me to remember him. Allah has inspired you. Allah has allowed you. Allah has given you the chance to remember and to thank and to glorify him and so on and so forth. Isma'u minni, listen to me, because I do not know if I'm going to be alive again after this year and in this place. You see, my dear brothers, everything has a last thing. Everything has an end. There is an end thing you will say before you die. There's an end action you will do before you die. There's an end money you will spend before you die. There's an end garment you will wear before you die. Everything has an end. There are some people blessed, may Allah make us of them, whose last words will be La ilaha illallah. Right? Their last words will be La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Other people, you know, people they think, oh, that's easy to do. I'll make sure before I die. I don't have to do big things, but I'm going to make sure before I die, I'll say La ilaha illallah. At the end, the hadith, man qala La ilaha illallah, before he dies, wa dakhil al-jannah, he will enter paradise. And that's an easy thing to do. You know, if a car is coming towards a person at 60 miles per hour, it's more likely, if that person is not wearing the garment of taqwa, that he will say something very opposite towards anything that Allah is pleased with. He will say, oh, something else, right, as the car is about to strike him, rather than saying La ilaha illallah. Allah make us zakirin, zakirat, always remembering Allah, so that our end is also in remembrance of Allah. Everything has an end. And how do you make your end, my dear brothers? In the hadith, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَعْمَلِ زَمَنَ الطَّوِيلِ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ فِي مَا يَبْدُ لِلنَّاسِ وَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ وَإِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَعْمَلِ زَمَنَ الطَّوِيلِ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فِي مَا يَبْدُ لِلنَّاسِ وَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صلى الله عليه وسلم. A man acts for a long time like the people of paradise. And so the people, they think this person is so pious, he must enter paradise. But then he acts like the people of hell, and so he is a person of hell. And a man acts for a long time like the people of Jahannam, evil. And so the people, they think this man must be a person of Jahannam because he's so evil. But towards the end, he changes his situation, he rectifies himself, he asks Allah for forgiveness, he doesn't go back to his evil ways. Allah chooses to forgive that person by his mercy, and he's a person of Jannah. The Prophet ended his words by saying, actions are by their end. Actions are by the last thing that you do. So you have to make sure then that the last thing you do, and of course you don't know what the last thing you will do, is a good thing. Which means then everything you do should be a good thing. Everything you do should be a good thing. Because how do you know that last thing you do, which is an evil thing, could be the last thing that you meet Allah with, that you present Allah with. The last thing I did, Ya Allah, was this horrible thing. The last thing I saw, the last thing I heard, the last thing I was involved with was this ugly thing, Ya Allah. May Allah save us from ever being like that. Ayyuha nas, O people, he said, إِنَّ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَمَالَكُمْ حَرَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ كَحُرْمَةِ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا فِي شَهْرِكُمْ هَذَا فِي بَلَدِكُمْ هَذَا. O people, your blood and your wealth is sacred for you, like the sacredness and the sanctity of this day, like the sacredness and sanctity of this month, and like this land of yours. When you go on the Hajj, may Allah bless those who haven't been to go and see, visit Allah's house. Then you remember the hadith, من أتى هذا البيت فلم يرفث ولم يسق رجع كما ولدته أمه أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Whoever comes to this house and he doesn't indulge in relationships and doesn't sin, then Allah returns him home as if his mother gave birth to him. And so for those who are on the Hajj, everyone is so cautious. You don't want to outstep your limit. You don't want to exceed the boundaries. Everyone is so careful. Everyone is wrapped up in the ihram and is careful. Are you going to see nothing? I'm not going to hear nothing. I'm not going to do nothing. No arguments, nothing. I'm just going to come here for that 5 special days and I'm going to worship Allah as best as I can and go home like a newborn baby. The Prophet is telling his Sahaba and us and the whole of humanity, the blood of a Muslim and the wealth of a Muslim is sacred, just like you think that this day is so sacred. Just like you think that this place is so sacred. Just like you think that this month of Dhul-Hijjah is so sacred. Then like that, the honor of a Muslim is so sacred. in one hadith, كل مسلم على المسلم حرام دمه وماله وعرضه. Every Muslim towards another Muslim is sacred. It's sacred. His blood is sacred, his wealth is sacred, and his honor is sacred. Perhaps many of you know of the plight of our sister Afia Siddiqui, who was kidnapped. Her 7th year anniversary is in a few days' time. The 29th or the 30th of March. She's like your mother, my dear brother. She's like our sister, our auntie. But she was kidnapped 7 years ago, and 5 years of her life are unaccounted for. She was called by Amnesty International one of the disappeared people in the so-called war on terror. She was described by Mozambique, who was released from Guantanamo Bay, as the ghost of Bagram. She was the phantom of Bagram, because he said we would hear her screams for so many years. By her own testimony, she was raped, she was attacked, she was abused, she was tortured. Her child is still missing. Who is that? That's your sister, our sister. إِنَّ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَأَمْوَالَكُمْ حَرَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. The blood of a Muslim is sacred. The honor of a Muslim is sacred. The wealth of a Muslim is sacred. Like the sacredness of this day, remember your sister. Do you not pray for Afia? You do pray for Afia, but how ironic it is that that's what we all pray for, but we pray for Afia for ourselves. In the hadith, الدُّعَاء لَا يُرَدُّ بَيْنُ الْآذَانِ وَالْإِقَامَةِ. Dua between Azan and Iqama is not rejected by Allah. Sahaba, they said, فَمَاذَا نَقُولُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. What should we say then, O Messenger of Allah, now that we know it's a special time? What did he say? Ask Allah for afia in the dunya and akhirah. Ask Allah for afia. Ask Allah for well-being in the dunya and akhirah. But you ask that for yourself. Let us start remembering our sister Afia and ask Allah for Afia for our sister Afia. He told his uncle Abbas, Ya Abbas, أكثر من الدعاء بالعافية. Abbas, increase in your dua for Afia. And you ask Allah for Afia for our sister Afia. Allah returns her child to her. And Allah releases her. Look at this, look at this. فَلَمَّا خَرْجَ مَلَكَ الرُّومِ وَفَعَلَ فِي بَلَادِ الْإِسْلَامِ مَا فَعَلَ. In the time when the Muslimin was strong and unified and we had a Darul Islam, right? When Al-Mu'tasim Billah was the Khalifa of the Muslimin and the King of the Romans had left the lands of Islam after pillaging and doing bad things in the lands of the Muslimin. سَمِعَ أَنَّ إِمْرَأَةً هَاشِمِيَّ صَاحَتْ وَهِيَ أَسِيلَةً فِي عِيدِ الرُّومِ وَمُعْتَصِمَا. He heard and he was resting on his couch that a one woman cried out and she was slapped in the face and she was taken prisoner by the Romans and she cried out, Wa Mu'tasima, O Mu'tasim, where are you? فَأَجَابَ وَهُوَ جَالِسٌ عَلَى سَرِيرِ. And he responded to her when he was resting on his couch, لَبَّيْكِ لَبَّيْكِ. Here I am, here I am. He wrote a letter to the King of the Romans immediately and said, What? مِنْ أَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الْمُعْتَصِمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَى كَلْبِ الرُّومِ. إذا لم تطلق صراح الشريفة سأرسلك بجيش أوله عندك وآخره عندي. From Amir al-Mu'mineen, if you do not release this Muslim woman, I will send to you an army. Its beginning, its head is with you, and its tail, its end is with me. This is how they saw the honor and the value of a Muslim. These things are not done today. That's understood. But we have to have this. So please remember your sister Afia and learn about her situation. There is a march this Sunday, I think, taking place in London. It's a good solidarity march. It's a chance for us to learn more about her situation. There's a website you can visit, JFAC, Justice for Afia Siddiqui, I think, Coalition, something like this. He said in his last sermon, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so, if your wealth and your honor and your life is sacred like the sacredness of this month and this land and this time and this situation, فَمَنْ كَانَتْ عَنْدَهُ أَمَانَةً فَلْيُؤَدِّيَا إِلَى مَنْ اَتَّمَنُهُ عَلَيْهَا. So whoever amongst you has an amana, whoever amongst you has a trust that does not belong to him, leads to retirement. Whoever amongst you has something that does not belong to him, has something he's keeping for someone else, must return that thing. You see, in one hadith, he asked his companions, أَتَدْرُونَ مَا الْمُفْلِسِ? Who is the bankrupt person? Do you know who is the bankrupt person? They said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ الْمُفْلِسُ فِينَا مَنْ لَا دِرْهَمْ لَهُ وَلَا مَتَعَ. The bankrupt one of us is one who has no dinar. He has no money. He has no sense of enjoyment. He has no wealth. He has nothing to his name. That person, we call him bankrupt person. Like they call him today. Someone who has nothing, is a destitute, nothing with him, nothing to his name, he's a bankrupt person. He said, no. That's not a bankrupt person. Al-muflisu min ummati man yati yawm al-qiyamah bis-salatin was-siyamin was-zakat. The bankrupt person is the one who comes on the day of judgment with salah, with praying, with fasting, and with zakat. وَيَأْتِي قَدْ شَتَمَ هَذَا وَضَرَبَ هَذَا وَسَفَكَ دَمَ هَذَا وَأَكَلَ مَالَ هَذَا. But he comes on the day of judgment and he unlawfully spilled the blood of this person, and he unlawfully struck this person, and he usurped the rights and the property of that person, and he backbit this person, and he slandered that person. Meaning, he may have given Allah his rights to worship him, but he didn't give the creation their rights to treat them well. How often, when Sahaba were traveling, would Abu Sufyan give advice to them? Like Mu'adh ibn Jabal and so many others. And he would tell them to do what? To behave well towards the people. To do goodness towards the people. You can't just present Allah with your fasting and your prayer and your good deeds, but you've wronged everyone else. That is not the way of a Muslim. Your worshipping, your prayer, your fasting, your Quran should make you a better person, should give you a better character, should give you better speech, better akhlaq, better manners, better attributes. Not that you're only worshipping Allah, but you're being so evil with the creation of Allah. إِنَّ الْفَقِيهُ هُوَ الْفَقِيهُ بِفِعْلِهِ لَيْسَ الْفَقِيهُ بِنُطْقِهِ وَمَقَالِهِ وَكَذَا الرَّئِيسِ هو الرئيس بخلقه ليس الرئيس بمقامه ورجاله وكذا الغني هو الغني بحسنه ليس الغني بملكه وبماله. إن الفقيه, the scholar, is not a scholar because of his speech and his nice words and his good statements, but he is a faqih, he is a scholar because of his action. And like that, the leader of a people is not the emir or the leader of a people by his station and his many strong people. He is a leader because of his character, he becomes a leader. And like that, the wealthy person is a wealthy person because of his goodness, not because of his kingdom and because of his wealth and his power. No, my dear brother. These inner attributes that you have, that you work for, taqwa of Allah, that you pray and you ask Allah for, and Allah gives you blessings in your life, should be manifest towards the people at the same time. Right? To do good to one another. Right? Why do we have a problem with our youth? Why do we have many youth who are just so wayward and they do wrong things? Why do we have a situation like that? There's not one reason for it, but for sure one of the reasons for it is that we as parents have no time for them. The fathers are stuck with 4 or 5 jobs and the mothers are too busy watching Bollywood movies. It's sadly a true case. And the kids, what do you expect for them to do? Except roam the streets and do things that they're not supposed to do. It should not be like that, my dear brother. Like the poet said, ليس اليتيم من انتهى أبواه من حمل الحياة وخلفه ذليلا إن اليتيم من تلقى له أما تخلت أو أبا مشغولا. The orphan is not simply the one who's lost his parents. You know that? The orphan is not just the one who's lost his parents. The orphan is the one whose father is absent and his mother is busy. Are we like that? Are we so absent And our wives are so busy, there is nothing for the children to do. It's as if they're orphans. We must not be like that. But we must be like those Ibn Qayyim described when he says, وَهُوَ سُبْحَانَ وَتَعَالَى رَحِيمٌ يُحِبَّ الرَّحَمَاءُ وَيَرْحَمَ مِنْ عِبَادِ الرَّحَمَاءُ. Right? Allah is merciful. And Allah loves the merciful. And Allah is merciful with His servants who are merciful. And Allah is towards His servants by the scale and the standard that His servants are towards His creation. Right? So that our worship manifests into something good towards our family, our wives, our children, our parents, our societies, whatever. The sermon is a long one and it takes some time to go through all of the key points our Prophet ﷺ mentioned. But in the remaining minutes, he also says, for example, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ O people, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ قَدْ يَئِسَ Shaytan has lost hope that he will mislead all of you in the bigger of things. He will mislead some people, of course, in big things. He will make some people worship idols. And they'll do that. They'll worship Ganesh and other things. Right? And in one authentic hadith, إِنَّ قَبَائِلَ مِنْ أُمَّتِي One party from my nation will worship idols. So not everyone will worship idols. He's lost hope in misleading all of us in the bigger of affairs. وَلَكِنَّهُ قَدْ رَضَى أَنْ يُطَعَ فِي مَا سِوَى ذَلِكَ But he's happy that he will mislead you in the smaller things. مِمَّا تَحْكِرُونَ مِنْ أَمَالِكُمْ By those things that you think you belittle from your action. You think, well, these things are unimportant in my religion. No need to worry about these as long as I'm doing the bigger of things. No, my dear. No one here knows what will tip their scale on the Day of Judgment. No one knows what is going to tip your scale on the Day of Judgment to make you from Ashab al-Yameen, not from Ashab al-Shimal, from the people of the right, not from the people of the left. What will tip your scale? You see, in one hadith, he says, لَا تَحْكِرَنَّ مِنْ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْءٍ أَوْ كَمَا قَالِ He says, none of you should belittle any good deeds. وَلَوْ أَن تَلْقَ أَخَاكَ بِوَجْهٍ طَلِيقٍ Even meeting your brother with a cheerful and smiley face. None of you should think that this is irrelevant and worthless. In one hadith, تَبَسَّمُكَ فِي وَجْهِ أَخِيكَ صَدَقَ Smiling in your brother's face is charity for you. Like the poet who said, يَا بُنَي, O son, إِنَّ الْبِرَّ شَيْءٌ هَيِّنٌ وَجْهٌ طَلِيقٌ وَكَلَامٌ لَيِّنٌ My son, goodness, some goodness is achieved by easy things. A smiley face and a soft word. Right? But the key thing is, my dear brother, don't belittle the good that you do or the smaller good that you are instructed to do by our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These were the last words. And at every junction he would say, أَلَا هَلْ بَلَّغْتُ اللَّهُمَّ شَرْ Have I conveyed the message? Oh Allah, testify. Oh Allah, bear witness. At the end he instructed us, فَلْيُبَلِّغُ الشَّهِدَ الْغَائِبِ Let the one who was witness convey to the one who was absent. And like that, this message has reached us more than 1,400 years later. We're conveying that message, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we take some instructions from his last public words, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all collectively and to make us a people who wear the garment of taqwa and a people who are good towards Allah and good towards others amongst us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who really understand the worth of one another and the worth of those who are in their plight around the world. And may Allah release those like Afia Siddiqui who are imprisoned falsely and unjustly. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all collectively and send peace and blessings and prayers upon His most beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon His pure family and companions. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.